Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
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 Podbean. The AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
Thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
My school uses Podbean.
My church, too.
I love it. I really do.
In the shadows of myth and reality, monsters stir. From ancient legends to modern nightmares, we explore the creatures that haunt our stories and sometimes our lives. Welcome to Among Monsters podcast, where the line between man and monsters is thinner than you think.
Dharma, the Milwaukee cannibal. From the deepest abysses of human depravity, where unimaginable horror takes root and the very limits of human evil are redefined, I welcome you. Tonight on Among Monsters, we plunge into the chilling psyche of one of America's most infamous and grotesque serial killers, Jeffrey Dahmer, the Milwaukee Cannibal. The name Jeffrey Dahmer evokes a visceral shudder in anyone familiar with the dark annals of true crime. His acts were not merely violent, they were a descent into a hellish realm of necrophilia, cannibalism, and dismemberment, leaving a trail of shattered lives and a city forever scarred. This isn't just a story about murder. It's a terrifying exploration of how an individual can succumb to urges so profound and perverse that they redefine the very limits of human evil. Born in 1960 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer's early life, on the surface, seemed unremarkable. He was a quiet, somewhat awkward child, moving with his family between Milwaukee and Doylestown, Ohio. As he grew into adolescence, however, subtle, then increasingly overt, signs of his burgeoning darkness began to manifest. A chilling fascination with dead animals, an increasing social isolation, and an escalating abuse of alcohol hinted at a deeply troubled inner world. His parents' tumultuous divorce and the subsequent lack of stable supervision during his late teens are often cited as contributing factors. But they hardly explain the monstrous evolution that would follow, nor do they excuse the atrocities he would commit. Dahmer's first murder occurred tragically early, in June 1978, just weeks after his high school graduation. Stephen Hicks, a hitchhiker, was lured back to Dahmer's family home in Bath, Ohio, where he was murdered, dismembered, and his remains scattered in the surrounding woods. This act, committed in the very house he grew up in, marked the terrifying genesis of a 13-year spree of unspeakable crimes. After this initial murder, Dahmer, in an attempt at normalcy, or perhaps a desperate escape from his own urges, enlisted in the U.S. Army. However, this was a brief and undistinguished period that offered no escape from his burgeoning darkness. He was ultimately discharged due to his severe alcoholism, a constant companion to his escalating depravity, and a tool he used to further his horrific agenda. For years, Dahmer drifted, moving between his grandmother's house in West Allis, Wisconsin, and various rented apartments in Milwaukee. It was during this period, from the late 1980s to the early 1990s, that his crimes escalated dramatically in both frequency and horror, reaching their horrifying zenith. His victims were predominantly young gay men, often vulnerable individuals lured from bars and bus stops, particularly from the city's marginalized communities. This targeting, coupled with the victims' often transient lifestyles, unfortunately made them less likely to be immediately missed or thoroughly investigated, allowing Dharma's reign of terror to continue unnoticed for far too long, leaving a trail of disappearances that went largely unheeded. Dharma's modus operandi was chillingly consistent, meticulous, and profoundly methodical. He would invite his victims back to his apartment, where he would drug them, typically with potent sedatives administered in drinks. Once incapacitated, he would strangle them, ending their lives. But murder was merely the prelude to his darkest, most unfathomable fantasies. What followed was a horrifying progression into necrophilia, engaging in sexual acts with the deceased. His perverse desires then led him to dismemberment, meticulously carving up the bodies to satisfy his morbid curiosity, to fulfill his grotesque fantasies, and to dispose of the evidence in ways he believed would prevent detection. And then, perhaps the most disturbing element of his crimes, cannibalism. Dharma consumed portions of his victim's flesh, believing it would allow him to absorb their essence, to keep them with him, to control them utterly and permanently. He would also collect and preserve certain body parts, particularly skulls, as grotesque trophies, a macabre collection marking his terrifying achievements. The sheer scale of the horror contained within Dharma's various Milwaukee apartments, particularly his final residence at the Oxford Apartments on North 25th Street, beggars belief.
Podbean, your message amplified.
Ready to share your message with the world? Start your podcast journey with Podbean.
Podbean, the AI-powered all-in-one podcast platform.
Thousands of businesses and enterprises trust Podbean to launch their podcasts.
Use Podbean to record your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to optimize your podcast.
Use Podbean AI to turn your blog into a podcast.
Use Podbean to distribute your podcast everywhere.
Launch your podcast on Podbean today.
Neighbors often reported foul odors, screams, and strange noises emanating from his unit. Yet, tragically, their complaints often went unheeded or were dismissed by authorities, attributed to typical apartment building issues or the transient nature of the neighborhood. One particularly infamous incident occurred on May 27th, 1991, when Konerak Sintha Somphone, a 14-year-old Laotian boy, drugged and naked, managed to escape from Dharma's apartment. Police officers, responding to calls about a commotion, arrived on the scene, and, despite the desperate pleas of witnesses that the boy was underage, clearly distressed, and in danger, incredibly returned him to Dharma, who calmly convinced them it was merely a lover's quarrel. Less than an hour later, Konerak was dead, brutally murdered by the very individual he had just escaped, a victim not only of Dharma, but of the systemic failures that were meant to protect him. This egregious error, documented and later scrutinized, would become a painful symbol of the institutional shortcomings that allowed Dharma to continue his rampage for far too long. The end of Dharma's reign of terror came dramatically and unexpectedly on July 22nd, 1991. Tracy Edwards, Dharma's intended next victim, a man who would forever live with the harrowing memory of that night, fought back with incredible courage. Despite being handcuffed and threatened with a knife, Edwards managed to escape Dharma's apartment, bursting out onto the street and flagging down two patrolling police officers. He led them back to the apartment, a scene that would forever be etched into the minds of the responding officers and define the very meaning of horror. Inside the apartment was a charnel house, a grotesque testament to unthinkable crimes. The stench was overwhelming, a putrid, sickening mix of decay, chemicals, and human remains that assaulted the senses. Investigators found dismembered bodies in various stages of decomposition, skulls chillingly preserved, bones dissolving in vats of acid, human organs meticulously stored in the refrigerator and freezer, and a vast collection of grotesque photographs detailing Dahmer's horrific acts from their inception to their final morbid state. The sheer volume and depravity of the evidence discovered were beyond comprehension, shocking even seasoned law enforcement officers. The discovery sent immediate shockwaves, not just through Milwaukee, but across the globe, dominating headlines and sparking a collective gasp of revulsion. Jeffrey Dahmer was immediately arrested at the scene. He calmly and chillingly confessed to his crimes, detailing his methodology, his twisted desires, and his motivations with a profound, almost detached lack of remorse. He was charged with multiple counts of murder, and the legal process began. The trial that followed was a media sensation, captivating and repulsing the public in equal measure. In February 1992, after extensive psychological evaluations, Jeffrey Dahmer was found legally sane and guilty on 15 counts of murder in Wisconsin. He was sentenced to 15 consecutive life terms in prison, totaling 941 years, ensuring he would never again pose a threat to society. He later pleaded guilty to an additional murder charge in Ohio for the death of Stephen Hicks, receiving another life sentence. The aftermath of the Dahmer case was profound and far-reaching. It sparked intense public debates and painful introspection about police negligence, particularly regarding the handling of cases involving marginalized minority victims, and led to significant reforms within the Milwaukee Police Department to address systemic biases and improve responsiveness. The city of Milwaukee grappled deeply with its identity, forever associated with the horrors Dahmer unleashed. The families of the victims endured unimaginable pain, their grief compounded by the grotesque nature of their loved ones' deaths and the public spectacle surrounding the case. Many sought solace in community and advocacy, tirelessly working to ensure their loved ones were remembered as more than just victims, fighting for their dignity and for broader societal change. Jeffrey Dahmer's time in prison was relatively short, a mere 3 years after his conviction. On November 28th, 1994, he was brutally murdered by fellow inmate Christopher Scarver at the Columbia Correctional Institution in Portage, Wisconsin. Scarver, a deeply religious man, stated he killed Dahmer because Dahmer mocked God and engaged in grotesque acts with food that reminded him of Dahmer's cannibalism. His violent death, an ironically fitting end for such a violent man, brought a strange sense of finality to a saga that had seemed almost too macabre to be real, closing a chapter that many wished had never been written. The story of Jeffrey Dahmer serves as a stark, unsettling reminder of the unfathomable depths of human evil. His was a unique and horrifying cocktail of sexual deviance, severe mental illness. Though found legally sane, his pathologies were undeniable and profound, and a chilling ability to compartmentalize his monstrous acts from his seemingly mundane public persona. His legacy is one of profound horror, a name whispered in hushed tones, forever synonymous with the darkest, most terrifying aspects of the human condition. The shadows he cast over Milwaukee and the families he destroyed continue to linger, a grim testament to the fact that some monsters truly walk among us, hiding in plain sight. Thank you for joining me tonight on Among Monsters. As we delve into these disturbing accounts, we are reminded of the lurking darkness and the constant need to confront the most unsettling truths about ourselves and the world around us. Until next time, stay vigilant and remember, some nightmares are real.
Thank you for listening to Among Monsters podcast. Find more episodes of Among Monsters podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, or anywhere premium podcasts exist. Email us at amongmonsterspodcast@gmail.com.